This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Last Wednesday, the 2024 Illinois legislative session closed, and did so with lawmakers passing a budget that's the biggest ever for the state, a sum of more than $53 billion. So what's included in that budget? And what items did and didn't make it through this most recent session? Capital News Illinois Editor-in-Chief Jerry Nowicki has those details, and he joins us now to talk about it. Jerry, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Jerry, just after 2 a.m. last Wednesday, which was May 29th, lawmakers voted to pass the budget with a 65-45 vote. It was a total of $53.1 billion, and it's the largest budget in state history. What are the need-to-knows about how such a budget passed?
Yeah, I think just generally speaking, the governor, it mirrored pretty closely what Governor Pritzker had proposed in February. And some of the big items are that it, you know, creates a $50 million child tax credit for children under 12. For the upcoming fiscal year, that's if they qualify for the earned, if the family qualifies for the earned income tax credit, they'd be eligible for a type of tax credit there. And just generally speaking, it increases education funding by $350 million, gives a small increase to universities and colleges, but probably not keeping up with inflation. And then just kicks a little more money to like MAP grants for students who with a financial need to go to Illinois colleges, and just general full pension payment and stuff like that. Everything the governor wanted to do, basically.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like it would be in alignment with what Democrats would want. And Democrats do hold a supermajority in the chamber. Does that mean, though, that they were in one accord on that figure for the budget that passed?
No, we saw a lot of Democrats really expressing some concern that maybe it's growing spending a little too much. $53 billion was a couple billion dollars over the enacted budget for the current year. So they had to pass a corresponding revenue proposal to increase revenues by about $1.1 billion that did such things as extending a cap on corporate net operating losses to generate about $500 million, raising the tax rate on sports books, capping a retailer's discount that retailers get for collecting the state's sales tax and stuff like that. So the concern among some Democrats was that in doing stuff like that, some of it, which is one time in nature, you're setting up future years for a budget hole, you know, next time they sit down to pass a budget.
Mm-hmm. So what was it then that Republicans were having problems with? What were the major contentions that they had with the budget?
Yeah, generally speaking, the Republicans have the same concerns, although maybe to a greater extent than, you know, some of the Democrats who expressed their concerns this year. So basically speaking, Republicans say, at least in the House, say, you know, we haven't been super involved in the negotiating process. They're doing a lot of this behind closed doors. There may be Democrats have a little more authority to ask for infrastructure spending than the Republican individual legislators did, although nobody, you know, on the Democratic side will confirm there's those types of pork projects. There's just general understanding that the Democrats were able to put in their asks for their district-specific projects, although it's not immediately clear which of them got approved and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And then what about programs that were programs serving non-citizens?
Yeah, so there's $182 million for the type of welcome center for housing and maybe providing some basic healthcare needs and such for individuals who are new arrivals to Illinois. Maybe many of them were bused here from Texas, but they are coming from other places, you know, just some of them here seeking asylum, some of them here just through other processes, maybe with legal permission, maybe not. And then there was 440 in general revenue and another 180 or so in other state or federal funds to provide Medicaid-like programs, basically, for non-citizens without legal permission to reside in Illinois or who are on a certain waiting period with their visas or green cards. So that's just basically making these non-citizens who would be eligible for Medicaid if not for their citizenship status, that's making them eligible for these Medicaid-like benefits in this state-funded program.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, talk with me about the bipartisan measures. So Metro East Republican Representative Amy Ehlich of Godfrey voiced opposition to several spending measures in the budget. However, there were seven pieces of legislation that she sponsored that now await Governor Pritzker's signature. What are those bipartisan measures that passed through the Senate and House? And what are the ones that stand out most to you?
You know, some of the bipartisanship you will have seen on, like, in the legislature, at least, on reforms to Illinois' Prisoner Review Board. But now that measure stalled before going to the governor. I think, you know, there are areas in the budget even where Republicans could agree to, you know, like the education funding increases and kicking a little bit more money to providers of for people, individuals with disabilities who are living in the community settings rather than state-operated developmental centers. But, you know, the Republican argument is that, hey, this $600, $700 million we're chipping towards these programs for non-citizen, that would have made us, that would have allowed us to do a lot more for these people with disabilities, for education, for whatever else. So mm-hmm. I think that was the main hang up there.
Mm-hmm. There was also something that was repealed. Illinois lawmakers, they did vote to repeal the state's 1% grocery tax starting in 2026. I mean, how popular is this plan with consumers? And is that different from how city leaders feel about it?
Yeah, I think, you know, any relief at the grocery store, people will generally be supportive of. It's not, it's certainly 1% is not a lot of relief, right? So, mm-hmm. But I mean, it's, the governor can stand up and say, hey, I repealed the grocery tax. It's regressive and it, you know, it's a bad thing for Illinois, especially the poorest among us, that grocery tax, and now I've repealed it. But what they did was they gave authority to local governments to make up that tax. And why that's a big deal is because none of the grocery tax revenue ever went to the state. If it was feeding the general revenue fund and allowing Illinois to spend in certain ways that the governor wanted to, I don't think he would have went for that repeal. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's easy to do when it's not money that's going to you. But I'd imagine in a lot of places where the municipality can't necessarily lose that revenue source, you're going to see them enact their own 1% tax, which they now have the authority to do without a referendum.
Mm-hmm. So we did say that the legislative session closed last week, but there's been something in the news, and that has to do with a unionization lawsuit. On Friday, a group of legislative employees sued Illinois Speaker of the House, Emmanuel Chris Welch, over their right to collectively bargain or to unionize. What is it that is notable about this story, Jerry? And what is it that you'll be keeping an eye out for as the lawsuit progresses?
Yeah, I expect it'll be the first real court test of the state's so-called right to unionize constitutional amendment that was put to voters and passed last year, or whenever it was, the last general election. And it says, you know, Illinoisans have a constitutional right to unionize, but state law doesn't really give legislative employees that right or whatever, however you want to classify it. So it's a test of the language of that amendment as to whether it's sort of absolute in that people have the right to unionize, or whether, you know, the General Assembly does have to pass a law to allow its own staff to unionize.
Mm-hmm. And as we close here, Jerry, legislators will be returning to Springfield this fall for a veto session. What do you anticipate will be the major items considered? I mean, is there anything that didn't make it through this session that could be passed through in autumn?
One of the ones we've been watching specifically is this Dignity and Pay Act, which there's a federal exemption under the minimum wage law that allows these certificate holders of called shelter workshops to pay individuals with disabilities less than the minimum wage based on their productivity level. For years, a couple lawmakers and more advocates and whatnot, but these two specific sponsors have been trying to end it. And it looked like they had, you know, large majorities to get it done this year, but it ultimately came to the Senate and they didn't have enough time to get it done by the time they adjourned. So that's one specifically I'll be watching for. Mm-hmm.
Jerry Nowicki is Editor-in-Chief of Capital News Illinois. Jerry, thank you so much for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.